Good morning. Once again, I'm sharing a message with an empty church other than AB and I. But let me tell you, we have just one more week to do this, and on May 3rd, we will open for all of our regular services. That will be Sunday school at 9:30, morning worship at 11, and evening worship at 6 o'clock, 6 p.m. So I'm looking forward to the May 3rd, when once again we will meet as a church family. If you are completely healthy, we welcome you to join us. If you have any issues at all, runny nose, headache, upset digestive tract, then we would ask that you refrain from joining us. But if you are completely healthy, we would look forward to you joining us and once again bringing the church family back together. That will be May 3rd. Beginning at Sunday school at 9:30. Okay, the title of this morning's message, since this is the Sunday after Resurrection Sunday, after the day that Jesus Christ rose from the dead, the day we call Easter, the title of this morning's message is Experiencing the Power of Jesus' Resurrection. Our scripture for this morning is Philippians 3, 10 and 11. Paul wrote to the Philippian church that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. In these two verses is the source of power for every born-again Christian. If you know Jesus as your Savior, then you believe that God raised him from the dead on that Easter morning when the two Marys came to the empty tomb. The Apostle Paul addresses the event and emphasizes the importance of it in his epistle to the church at Philippi. This morning, we're going to take some time to consider the event as it affected the apostles, and as it will one day affect us too. Those of you who are a regular part of our church know about how I like to ask questions, so let's begin with a couple of questions. First, do you know Jesus, and have you experienced the power of his resurrection? Do you know Jesus, and have you experienced the power of his resurrection? Secondly, are you experiencing the fellowship of his sufferings? Are you experiencing the fellowship of his sufferings? We'll start with the first question. Do you know Jesus, and have you experienced the power of his resurrection? For some so-called Christians, Christianity is just a matter of having their name put on a church roll somewhere. Or it's just a matter of presenting themselves for church membership and singing in the choir. For others, it's a matter of faithfully attending when it's convenient on Sunday mornings, and they have never darkened the door of the church on Sunday evening or Wednesday nights. They are one-hour-a-week Christians. I surely hope that no one listening to my voice is a one-hour-a-week Christian, because you are not pleasing God with your life. 1 hour a week Christians don't know the power of his resurrection. They don't understand who the Holy Spirit is, and they definitely don't follow his leading in the moment-by-moment living by faith. They don't live for Jesus, they're not his ambassadors, and they do not love the brothers and sisters, because people who want to be with those they love as much as possible, it's sometimes difficult to know if these kind of church members are really saved. Now, some of you may say, wait a minute, aren't you judging people pretty harshly? Let me show you what the Bible says about the true Christian. 1 John 1, 3 through 7. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and we walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. How does a person fellowship with someone when they're not where the other person is? Where the other person is not present. The Bible has much more to say about our loving one another. 1 John 3:11. For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. I ask you, how can a person love another person if they do not want to be present with them? 1 John 4:7 through 11 tells us, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Verse 11 says, Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. People who love each other don't stay away as long as they're not sick. If they're sick, they do stay away because they don't want to make the other person that they love sick also. If a person loves the people of their church family, they will be there every time they get a chance. It doesn't have to be something special. They just want to be with the ones they love. If they don't want to be with the people of the church, they don't really love them. You see, we're talking about something that we cannot control. We are talking about the same source of power and love that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. We are talking about the Holy Spirit. He is the power that raised Jesus from the dead, and he is the power that puts love in our hearts for the brethren. Paul wanted to know the power of Jesus' resurrection. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead is the same power that changes our heart and controls our life if we let it, by permitting him to make us born again. 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20 says, What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. The Holy Spirit of God indwells us at the instant that we believe on Jesus Christ for salvation. From that point on, we love the brethren because the Holy Spirit of God causes us to love the brethren. If a person does not love the brethren, they don't have the Holy Spirit living in their heart. I'm going to say that again. If a person doesn't love the brethren, they don't have the Holy Spirit living in their heart. And if they don't have the Holy Spirit living in their heart, they do not know Jesus. Romans 8, verses 8 through 11, explain this a little bit. Romans 8, 8 through 11 says, So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Do you see what these verses tell us? If we are saved, we have the Holy Spirit living in us. But if the Spirit is not living in us, we are not saved. If the Spirit lives in us, we will love the brothers and sisters, and we will want to be with them as often as we can be. We will be at church every chance that we get. That is something that the lost person doesn't understand or know. And that is something that the world doesn't understand. It is the desire to be with the people that we love that drives us to fellowship and assembling of ourselves together, just like the Bible tells us. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. People, no person can provoke unto love if they are not present. We have in these verses a direct command from God not to forsake the assembling of ourselves. That is addressing the staying away from church. Once again, we are looking at Paul's statements about the power that raised Jesus from the dead and also makes it possible for us to accept the suffering that is sometimes involved in living a good testimony for Jesus. If we live for Jesus, we will suffer persecution of some kind. The persecution may not come from the world outside, or it may come from the family that we were born into. There is going to be persecution. The power of God's Holy Spirit is going to be the source of power for us to endure whatever God permits us to go through. If we are not experiencing persecution, we are not living completely in the will of God. The lost person, or the person who has never surrendered to the Holy Spirit, does not understand the importance of the power of the Holy Spirit in the life of the true born-again believer, and how that power causes us to follow certain leadings when it comes to living our lives according to the will of God. Each of us adds strength to every other member of the church family, because each of us, if we are saved, bring the power of the Holy Spirit into the equation of the church life. What are you suffering for Jesus Christ? Has your family ostracized you? Are you being made fun of at work? Are you not getting the promotions or the recognition that you're entitled to? Jesus had a lot to say about these things. Let me share a few of the things that he told his disciples. We'll begin in Matthew 19, verses 28 and 29. Matthew 19, 28 and 29. And Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit on the throne of his glory, ye shall also sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And every one that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive 100-fold, and shall inherit everlasting life. This was being addressed to the apostles. And then the Gospel of Mark records the same statement given by Jesus to his disciples. Mark 10, verses 29 and 30. And Jesus answered and said, Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands for my sake in the Gospels, but he shall receive an hundredfold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal life. This must be an important principle for God to include it in his word twice. Yet here it is. I know that for a fact some of you are being scoffed at by your family for believing the word of God. Your family thinks that you are strange for trying to live by the principles that you find in the Bible. I also know that some of you who are still working and some of you who are now retired suffered from mistreatment from those who were your bosses at work. Jesus said that if that happened, he would take care of you. What a difference in eternal expectations exist between you and those who thought that you were strange or a little nutty. You will experience the same power of resurrection that Jesus experienced, and they will experience the same thing that the rich man experienced in Luke 16, if they never believe on the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. Luke 16, 22 and 23. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and he was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. What a different outcome for two lives. In the language of today, we would say that the beggar went to heaven and the rich man wound up in hell. This morning, we're considering the power of Jesus' resurrection. And what can that mean for us? We are addressing the power of the Holy Spirit of God working in your life, not just for the fact of your resurrection after death, but the power for living a life that pleases God because it is lived in the center of God's perfect will. We must keep in mind that the Holy Spirit is God and that he knows what our Heavenly Father has planned for your future and what you can accomplish under the leadership of the Holy Spirit. If you will listen and follow the leading of the Spirit, your life will be lived in the center of God's will, and you will live in the full joy of serving your Lord. Too many Christians have lived according to their own plans and have no consideration for what God might want for their lives. God is not a part of their planning. The Holy Spirit has no part in providing them counsel for their future. I would ask you to consider, what is your relationship to God's Holy Spirit? Do you really know what it is to walk in the Spirit? I would like to take the liberty of stringing four verses together that deal with this particular subject so that you might be able to see what God's commands are regarding you and his Holy Spirit. We'll start with Galatians 5, 25. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. That's a command from God to each of us. Galatians 5, 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Then Romans 8, 4. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And then finally, Romans 8, 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. If the Holy Spirit of God was able to raise Jesus from the dead, don't you know that he can lead you to the center of God's perfect will for your life? What could be more blessed than living according to the perfect will of God? What could be more comforting than to know that we are exactly where God wants us to be and that we're doing specifically what God desires for us to do? Let me give you the key to being in that place. The key is this: die to self, live for Jesus Christ. Two people cannot live in one body. Either you are living in the power of the Holy Spirit, or you are living in the power of you. Which one do you think will be more successful? Which one do you choose? Father, we thank you for sending the Comforter, your Holy Spirit, to indwell us, to cause us to be born again, to lead us if we will listen. And Father, we know the importance of listening and living according to your Spirit. Help us, Father, in the days to come to follow him, to serve you, and to accomplish those things that you would have us accomplish with our lives, that you might be glorified, that Jesus Christ might be lifted up. And Father, we will praise you for all that you do. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.